Welcome to the MACPAR Fed Emission Success Podcast Series. In mid-December, SolarWinds acknowledged that it experienced a massive supply chain attack where its compromised software channel was used to push out malicious updates to 18,000 of its Orion platform customers. In this unprecedented breach, several government agencies were impacted, which included DOD, Department of Commerce, DHS, and others. And while much of the ongoing commentary around this breach focuses on the why and how it happened, it really points to the need for government agencies to go back to the cyber basics. This is why MACPAR recently published a white paper that lays out its five simple tips, cyber tips, for preventing a future attack like this. And today we're speaking with Mustafa Lutfi, an InfoSec consultant at MACPAR. More about this. And Mustafa, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Awesome. Well, before we dive in and talk about the cyber basics that were outlined in the MACPAR white paper, if you don't mind, tell us about the overall scope of this breach and why it was so noteworthy.
Well, I don't think we actually know the overall scope of this breach. It is so wide ranging that, you know, I don't think that we really have an accurate, you know, estimate of, you know, everybody that's reached. And mind you, while SolarWinds is used by, you know, hundreds of thousands of users or different customers, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that all of those customers were breached. Now, let's say that, you know, SolarWinds is the equivalent of what Kleenex is to tissue, right? So everybody, not, I wouldn't say necessarily everybody, but a majority of companies, Fortune 500 companies, government agencies utilize SolarWinds as one of their network monitoring tools. So that's why this is such a huge ranging issue, you know, and whoever the attacker was, I'm sure they didn't have time to breach all of the accounts that they could, just simply because everybody that had SolarWinds installed was susceptible to this attack. However, you know, the big wigs, the DOJ, you know, big Fortune 500 companies, you can bet that, you know, they have had some sort of breach with regards to this SolarWinds vulnerability.
Yeah, thanks for that rundown there. It certainly captured a lot of headlines when it happened, and it still is today. And as I mentioned in the intro, there's a lot of thought leadership commentary out there about why and how it happened. And, you know, there's always that looking back on how we could prevent this. But one of the things I thought was really interesting about the MACPAR white paper that was just published, that it really focuses on the cyber basics. So if you don't mind, let's run through these top five cyber basics. And I know the first one in the white paper is, it's all about people, right? About hiring security professionals. Tell us about that.
Right. I mean, a lot of times companies just, you know, spend a whole bunch of money on a security tool that sounds good and install it, or, you know, leave everything at default and have no clue, you know, what's actually going on in their system. Just because you could throw a whole bunch of money at a tool doesn't necessarily mean that tool is working for you. I mean, you need security professionals, one, to set up the tool, two, you know, maintain the tool, and then three, also respond and recover and determine if there are any issues, you know, that the tool, you know, brings up. And not just tools, you know, you want to make sure that a security professional understands your environment and your infrastructure is set up correctly and that you're using, you know, security best practices, which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit more later on in the podcast. But, you know, you want to make sure that, you know, you have the right people in place and those people are educated, not just from a cybersecurity standpoint, because you can, you know, throw all the certifications you can at somebody, but if they don't have any experience or any knowledge in your actual, you know, environment, you know, that really doesn't mean anything. So, you know, one, having the right cybersecurity professionals with the right resources and the right education for your specific environment. And then two, you know, just making sure that, you know, that they have what's necessary to implement all of these tools and processes and fundamentals and, you know, methodologies.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for that rundown there, Mustafa. And also, too, cybersecurity basic number two in the white paper is really all about embracing CDM. Tell us about that one.
Right. So, you know, you basically want to continuously monitor your system. And CDM basically, in a nutshell, it logs and determines or reads your system processes or anything, you know, such as an admin logging in or the password change or any sort of process that's running in the background that shouldn't be. You want to make sure that you have an accurate description or accurate representation of what your network is doing. You want to make sure that that traffic is analyzed. And at the end of the day, you know, this kind of goes back to the people portion of this podcast. You know, you want to make sure that you're, you know, whoever's setting up your CDM knows what to look for, because, you know, if you have 100,000 people on your network and you have an alert for every time, you know, a packet is sent from each person, you know, you want to filter out a lot of the noise, and you want to make sure that all your false positives are also filtered out too. So you don't skip over what's actually important. You want to make sure that you're actually not capturing necessarily everything, but capturing the important stuff.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks. And let's talk about cybersecurity basic number 3, because this one I thought was really interesting. It's the increasing the need for security awareness training. And this kind of follows on the topic of social engineering. And you and I have talked before that there are some social engineering scams that are out there that are pretty ingenious, pretty simple, and pretty mind-blowing. So tell us about the need for security awareness training with this social engineering issue in mind.
Yeah, I mean, the weakest link is always the human. And, you know, as bad as that sounds, you know, computers only do what we tell them. So I would say a good 90 to 95% of breaches probably start with some sort of social engineering, whether that's, you know, me saying that I'm from the help desk and asking the CEO's secretary for her password, or, you know, sending someone in the C-suite or someone that's a system administrator a phishing email. You know, that there are so many ways to get past this. I've read stories. I know colleagues that have gone in with body suits on and posed as a pregnant lady to sneak into the back of a bank and insert a rubber ducky, which is basically a tool that allows you remote access from pretty much anywhere you stick in the USB key. And, you know, there's so many ways. I want to say the Iranian nuclear hack was perpetrated by just sifting out USB keys in the middle of a parking lot. I know you might have seen that on Mr. Robot, but Mr. Robot is 99% based on real world. So, you know, making sure that your employees, not just your security professionals, but literally every employee is aware of what phishing is, of, you know, not to give your password out, just basic cyber hygiene, you know, just making sure that, you know, everyone in your organization abides by that, takes this training and understands this training. And this, you know, it's not necessarily just for anything at work. You know, this can help in their personal lives. And I know, you know, one of the social engineering tricks going around now is to actually act like you're interviewing someone for a job and then learning everything about what they do on their current job and all the tools they use, any vulnerabilities they might have had and how they work through them. So you know what that, you know, environment looks like, all the while that security professional thinks that they're just interviewing for a job. So, you know, there's so many different ways that, you know, this particular hack could have gotten, you know, started. But, you know, I think it's the most prevalent issue out today is, you know, just the human error or the human portion of cybersecurity.
Yeah, thanks, Mustafa. Because that, I mean, you're showcasing there some, just they're taking full advantage of human vulnerability. You know, humans are, you know, inherently make mistakes, you know, and some of the stuff you mentioned there, like I said, is pretty mind-blowing. And another mind-blowing thing is that cybersecurity basic number 4 is the need to change passwords. I mean, most of us have known that since 1999 when we started doing e-commerce, you know, and also the use of multi-factor authentication. But tell us more. I assume maybe a lot of organizations don't change their passwords. Would love to hear more on that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, a lot of it goes back to the security professional. Someone, you know, might get a brand new tool. It might be a fancy firewall box, but if you have your admin password as, you know, password 123, you know, that's going to be the first password that any hacker tries. And I want to say in the SolarWinds hack that they actually found that one of their servers, the password was still SolarWinds 123. And they don't necessarily say that this instigated the breach, but, you know, any type of similar weak setting can allow any of the attackers access to any of their systems. I think Reuters publish that. So, you know, it is kind of mind blowing that, you know, you would buy these huge security systems and leave the passwords default in. You know, there, I want to say credential stuffing is the biggest, I guess, well, OWASP top 10 is basically the 10 biggest web application vulnerabilities. And number 1 came out of nowhere was credential stuffing. And this is basically taking passwords from different breaches. I know you've probably heard of, you know, I think there was Ashley Madison had a huge breach. I think it was Riot Games had a huge breach. There are a number of huge breaches that all of these passwords and usernames have been aggregated over the years. So, you know, you've got billions and billions of passwords that you can really just throw, and you can base it off, you know, the suffix of their email. If it's at tesla.com, then I have a list of different people I can test at Tesla. And if I throw 1,000 of them at a brute force machine, you know, one of them works, that's all I need, you know? So making sure, one, that if I do have those passwords, two, I have a multi-factor authentication. So just having that password does not give me access to the system. So you want to make sure that you have multi-factor authentication, whether that's, you know, an authenticator app on your phone, or a, you know, a PIV or a CAT card. I know one of the big ones that we, you know, we've been using as a society is having a number text to it. But that, as we've learned, is also not secure anymore, because you can actually spoof somebody's number pretty easily now. So, you know, again, I would utilize either a authenticator, as in like a Google authenticator, or there's Authy. There's a bunch of different companies out there. And then, you know, if you want to go a step further, use a key, you know, like a CAT card, PIV card, a YubiKey. You know, there's a bunch of vendors out there that allow you to, or create your own, actually, you know, that you can do that yourself. So there's plenty of things that you can do just outside of your password to alleviate some of these vulnerabilities.
That's great. Thanks for those insights there. And we're actually at our last one, our cyber basic number 5, which is all about threat modeling and red team simulations. And tell us more about that.
Yeah, so you want to make sure that you are defining your threats, because you could set up a system or a tool, you need to know where your attackers might come from. You know, you want to make sure that, you know, you're not protecting from or wasting money protecting from something that will, you know, never occur. Like, say, for instance, someone would tunnel up through my server room, you know, make a mile long tunnel to install something on my servers. There's different things that you can look at. Say, hey, there are websites out there like the MITRE ATT&CK framework. You know, they show you different APTs, which are advanced persistent threats. And now these are normally like nation states. These aren't your normal, just, you know, mom and pop hackers, or, you know, a kid in a basement. These are your, you know, state funded, your North Koreas, your Russias, you know, your Irans. They actually show how most of their attack vectors and how they attack. And then they also follow up and show you how to protect yourself from these particular attacks from these different APTs. And you were speaking on these red team simulations, and basically there are some different, you know, atomic red teaming. There's a couple of different ways to basically simulate an attack utilizing these attack vectors on your systems. And some pretty cool tools. And, you know, if you want to take it a step further, you know, get a red team assessment. And, you know, red teaming basically is not just a penetration test. This is basically someone going out and doing everything they can to infiltrate your organization. This might include, you know, some social engineering, you know, breaking into a building and getting any asset access, or, you know, actually, you know, once you find a vulnerability on the network, you actually exploit it. Most of the time with penetration testing, you don't exploit that vulnerability, you just report on it. So, you know, making sure that you actually simulate what a real attacker would do, and with using real-time attack vectors, can greatly, you know, help your organization determine, you know, their threat vectors and make sure that they mitigate as many vulnerabilities as possible.
Awesome, Mustafa. Appreciate all of your insights today and your run through our cyber basics, all 5 of them. And of course, I'm going to ask this question. Would love to hear about MACPAR's cyber capabilities to wrap this all up.
Yeah, so here at MACPAR, we specialize in cybersecurity, and, you know, we provide a lot of these different services. We provide security awareness training. We provide the ability to do any type of assessment, whether it's any type of framework, you know, for instance, NIST framework, NIST RMF, there's SOC 2, there's a whole bunch of different types of frameworks that we support. And then we also support penetration testing. We will, you know, one, provide type external network testing as well as internal network testing. You know, and if you want to take it a step further, we will also provide, you know, our red teaming expertise. But we provide a wide gamut of services with regards to cybersecurity.
Awesome. You know, again, I really appreciate your time today. And before we just sign off in general, anything else to add or anything we may have missed? I'm sure we could probably do 10 hours of podcasts on this one. I know we stuck to the basics, but for the purposes of this interview, anything else to add?
Yeah, I kind of want to harp on some new developments in the story. I don't know if you saw, I think it was earlier today or maybe yesterday, that some senators sent over a note to Congress or to the NSA asking about a encryption standard that the NSA apparently had a backdoor on for Juniper Systems. And it was basically a very similar attack to what happened with SolarWinds, that the NSA basically created an encryption standard maybe like 10 years ago and forced a lot of different, you know, companies and agencies to use this encryption standard knowing they had a backdoor. I think one of, you know, a nation state or an APT got that code and basically changed that backdoor so only they would have access to that backdoor. And this was never reported up until now. I think it's almost 5 or 6 years later. I think all this was discovered back in 2015, 2016, and it's just now coming to light because of this SolarWinds. So, you know, while, you know, we hear about SolarWinds, this isn't the first time. You know, there are plenty of occasions where this has occurred. You know, NotPetya was a huge breach of Ukraine and their systems. And that was based off a software update of some tax software that basically everybody used. Mom and pop tax software based in Ukraine. A Russian APT infiltrated that and basically propagated that all over the world. And it wasn't just Ukraine. It was, I know Maersk almost went under, the big shipping company, because all of their systems were down and they weren't able to get ships into shipyards. And 18 wheelers were parked up for miles because they couldn't figure out what went where, because all of their systems were down based off of a small attack that propagated throughout the world. So, you know, this is not the first time this happened. This is the biggest one that we know of. And we probably wouldn't even know about it if they hadn't infiltrated FireEye, which was one of the, you know, first and foremost, you know, cybersecurity American companies. So, you know, no telling how long they've been in there, what else has been lying dormant for, you know, however long. So, you know, this is hopefully a wake up call for Congress to actually, you know, make some of these changes. But, you know, this is very serious, and I think it will, this isn't the first and this won't be the last.
Yeah, that's great. Appreciate those insights on some of the newer developments there. And I think you're right. These are serious developments that need to be addressed right now. And I'm sure we'll be developing more content in the coming weeks as new information comes out, new threats, new solutions. And for the purposes of this one, this concludes our very first MACPAR Fed Mission Success podcast interview with Mustafa Lutfi, who's an InfoSec consultant at MACPAR, who, as you heard, he was kind enough to share MACPAR's perspective on the 5 cyber basic tips that agencies should consider in the wake of the SolarWinds breach. And as he mentioned at the tail end of the podcast here, there are other things happening out there. And in many ways, these cyber fundamentals will be very applicable to any agency at any time. And Mustafa, thank you so much for your time today.
All right. Thank you.